To say there's only four of us.
Thank you, Lord. We just praise you and we glorify you. We thank you for this opportunity to get together with our loving friends in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time. We're going to talk about you, Lord. We're going to talk about you and your Holy Spirit. We praise you from it. Amen. Yep, that's right. Missy, you're not muted. Thank you, Lord. It all got out too. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anybody got a let's see, there was something I wanted to pray about. Yes, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for leading us tonight into what the things that you'd have us to talk about. I know what I wanted to, but I want to do what you want to too, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Lead us and guide us, Lord, into the things that would help us at this time that we're in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Ben. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you that they're cleaning up the intelligence bureaus, the CIA and the FBI and the other two or other three, however what it is, and cleaning them up, Lord. And I praise you and thank you that they're getting the deep state out of there and the commies out of there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you that your angels are helping to show them who they are in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Julie.
Father, I thank you for your blessing on this nation, your goodness towards us, Lord, and the long suffering you've been with us. Thank you for your protection on our president, Donald Trump, and all the plans you have for him, that you will fulfill them all. Thank you for keeping him, guarding him, giving him all grace and wisdom and strength and courage, and to keep going forward with the plan that you have put in his heart, the whole alliance, the military, and that it would come to pass and in your timing, and that the enemy cannot stop it. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us that authority to cast down Satan and his kingdom, the powers of darkness that would try to delay it, stall it, keep it from coming. Every false flag event that they may have planned, we speak failure to all of those things in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, that your will would be done in these things with the Nisara, Jisara, the whole reset, the whole restoration, and all the things that you have, these good things coming to your people, Lord, and faith to believe it. Lord, I pray for those who are maybe wavering in that, or getting discouraged by it, or any naysayers, or any of the lies of the enemy getting, trying to put anyone in double-mindedness or doubt about it. To cast all that down, I thank you, Lord, that it will come to pass, and you want our faith to bring it to pass, and to keep praying it in, and to keep praying against the deep state, and to do our warfare, Lord. So I pray that you would help us all to be motivated and encouraged and strengthened and led by your spirit in these things that we can do. We don't know always what your will is, but we know that you've told us these things are going to come to pass, and you will fulfill it. And we bless our president, Lord, his administration, everyone who's working with him and for him. We thank you, Lord, for the MAGA movement being strengthened and restored and going forward. And anything that the devil tries to do to divide that is destroyed and will not prevail. Trying to start another party or whatever it is they think they want to do, that you will turn these men and women who have turned their backs on the alliance and our president and what he's doing,
Country.
thinking they know better or something, because that's usually what it is. And we thank you, Lord, for giving them the repentance and bringing light into their darkness and giving them the revelation of what's really going on, and that the president doesn't have to tell everybody everything when it comes to war and their strategic plans, because you don't say those things out loud, right? You don't let the enemy know what you're doing. Anyway, we thank you, Lord, that we're not supposed to be man pleasers and idol worshipers of any man, and that you would bring that light into people's hearts too, Father, and bring down this idolatry of President Trump. And we thank you, Lord, for working in his life too, Father, and protecting him, his family, and all those around him, and that your will be done and your plans and purposes for him will be established. And we thank you, God, for all the goodness you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for moving people out of harm's way with these judgments you are have been bringing and are bringing and will happen, that you're moving in their lives and their circumstances and showing them what you want. And they're seeking you, God, that you would use this time and these things. The people are seeking you about their own lives and where you want them, and what steps to take because of the circumstances that you brought in their in lives that will cause them to have to seek you for answers, God, and you would direct their steps. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Missy. Thank you, Julie.
I like to pray for my sister-in-law. I was talking to my mom last night. My sister-in-law, Dora Lee, that's my brother's wife. She's always had a lot of health issues. And she told me my brother was telling her that Dora Lee is getting dementia. She's like 59, I think, or something. And was saying about how they want to do things and all before they can't do things. And I'm like, oh Lord have mercy. Lord, I ask you to put faith in both of them, show them what your promises are for healing, and that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And they don't have to receive just because mental illness is in the family, her mother has mental illness, that it is just not have to be accepted. We break all curses spoken on Dora Lee. I thank you, Lord, for giving them a revelation and faith to believe that Dora Lee has health, to believe in your promises that by your stripes, both of them are healed in any of their medical issues or health issues, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for granting them repentance, a change of mind, Lord. And I know, Lord, you're gonna do it. And I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that before too long, I'm gonna see them in perfect health, Lord, because they're gonna believe in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for blessing Andrew tonight to be the grandpa he always is. He was designated to be, and we thank you for it, Father. He's a good grandpa, too. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
The work has kind of gone a bit dry again recently. I don't know if I'm working tomorrow. He's kind of trying to figure out what he can do for me. And so I'd like to just add that on to prayer. Lord, I just want to pray that the work comes and that the work starts flowing. We got jobs waiting. They're just not starting for us yet. And Lord, Father God, I just pray that you accelerate the work that needs to be done so we can get there on time, and that I'm going to be able to work for the rest of the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we just put our faith together with Ben and we believe it is so. Not only that, he's going to have a lot of work to do and he's not going to run out of work to do now another time. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, is anyone else? Lord, I thank you for leading and guiding us tonight also. do what you want us to do tonight. I know what I'd like to do, but I want you to tell me that's what you want to do too. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody got something that the Lord told you to talk about? Amen. Well, if you remember last time we talked about the gifts of the Spirit for tonight. And I know all of you studied real hard about that. That's okay. That's all right. We'll talk about it tonight. Let me just ask a couple of questions here. How many of you think that it's important to pray in tongues? Okay.
Yep.
I do.
Okay. I could tell you this is probably one of the most important gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us. Okay, Benita, got you, girl. That the Holy Spirit has given us is the gift of tongues. And it's one of the most frowned upon in the church world is tongues. They don't like it because it just sounds strange to them. They're in the flesh, they're not in the spirit. But I can tell you this, when you talk to the Holy Spirit in tongues and he talks back to you in English, that's cool. Well, hey, y'all. Oh, that's Andrew. Hey, Andrew. All right. Thank you, Lord. But anyway, that's what I thought we'd do tonight, unless somebody else has a better plan. That's what I'd like to do. What we're deciding, Andrew, is whether to go with the gifts of the Spirit tonight, talk about that a little bit, and how it actually, the gifts of the Spirit are probably the most important things in our lives as a Spirit-filled person. We should be listening to the Spirit, listening to the Spirit, and talking to the Spirit and Him talking back to us. And I know that there's a lot of misgivings out there about speaking in tongues. But in my estimation, I think we talked about it a little bit last week, didn't we? A little bit, or did we? Just a little. Yeah. Go ahead, Judy.
At the end, I don't know if it was recorded or not. At the end, I asked what was the difference between a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. And then we
Okay.
decided that's what, how we kind of led into that
Okay.
topic, subject matter.
All right. How many of you looked that up? Or how many of you know the difference between them? Okay. Well, that's a good subject then. That's a real good subject. The word of wisdom. Let's take that one first. What is the word of wisdom? Yeah, Missy. Give me your experience there, girl.
Well, I know the Lord is like, I can't think of anything specifically, but I know the Lord is like kind of like on the spot giving me words of wisdom, but I can't remember exactly the situation, but it's like giving you something. Kind of like, where'd that come from? it's kind of that sense of feeling like where'd that come? Like, you're talking to somebody and they're telling you their situation, and the Lord just gives you some wisdom to speak to them, and is biblical, that applies or whatever, and that's just what I believe it to be. That's kind of my experience.
Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Missy. Here's what, yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I don't really know. I think it has more to do with the word of wisdom would be something that God would just like, kind of like Missy said, that this was something that would be a very wise, I mean, based on scripture and based on just the wisdom of something beyond your own wisdom. You know, there'd be something that he would reveal to you, whether it be of a situation or understanding the word of God. The wisdom of God is like the manifold wisdom of God. It is parts of I mean, Christ is the wisdom of God. So I think it has to do more with a word of wisdom having to do with the scriptures.
Okay. Anybody else? The word of wisdom is this. How many of you know who Nikola Tesla was? Okay. He was a great inventor. The things that he didn't know about, had no idea how to do it, the discoveries, the inventions that he made, he would ask God, and God would give him wisdom to do that particular job. This and that's and I've only read that one place. Now I'm not real sure this is actual stuff, but I've read it in one place that that's what he would do. And so the word of wisdom is this: it's something for you to do that you don't know how to do, that the Lord gives you wisdom to do it. Does that make sense in the real world, in the flesh world, or in the spiritual world too? But mostly in the flesh world. Yeah, Ben.
I've always sort of never really understood the difference, but then someone explained it to me very simply one time. He said, "Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit, but wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad." And
That's good. I like
so
that.
knowledge is like something that you've attained. So to have an example, biblically, we know that by his stripes we are healed. We know that absolutely, because that's what it said in the word. Now, wisdom is something that's more like applicable to a skill, I guess you could say, like an action that's involved with the knowledge that's been attained. Because, you know, we know it, but sometimes we don't have that skill of it. It's not like an action that we have. It's hard to explain because it's not a physical thing, but it's a believing and a walking thing. We don't attain the skill, but it's given to us in the wisdom. And so by our wise skill that the Lord has given us through the knowledge, we have that healing. And again, we can know something, but it's one thing to be able to skillfully use it. That's why it tells us that we need to exercise our faith. And I'm trying to give examples in the word. That's the best example I know, is that we need to exercise our faith and to use our armor, to use our sword and shield. You know, the using verses, there's very much like wisdom verses, when it's not just like attaining knowledge, because we have a lot of knowledge in the word and we've read it so many times, and some of us can even quote verses verbatim, but that wisdom is something that's more skillful, applicable to our walk that the Lord has put in front of us. That's all I got for you.
Okay. All right. All right, Julie, go ahead.
I thought Andrew had his hand up. Did you put it down?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
You can
sorry,
change
I
your
didn't
mind.
see you, Andrew.
That's what, no, he put it down. Okay. Well, that's interesting you said that because I just had a really neat conversation with my brother earlier today, and he was telling me just briefly about something that happened in childhood and stuff. And I was only like 5 years old, 5, 6 years old when this happened. I don't remember a whole lot, but he was telling me how now my dad was a farmer, but he was also had some real good carpentry skills, and he and this building company, they had to rebuild our barn when the barn burned down, and Dad knew what he wanted. He did not use any kind of blueprint. He didn't draw anything out, but he knew what he wanted. And Larry was telling me that he just kind of penciled it out what they wanted, and laid the concrete, did all these things, put the put up the this is what I want kind of thing. But he's better at telling it because he was there with him. But that was just something that when you said that I believe my dad received that gift of knowledge that, he knew what he wanted in his mind, and he was able to build it from the bottom up. He built a barn and without having making out a blueprint or anything like that. And what he want, where the pens were at, were the feeding stalls, the pump, the water, and the everything, how it was going to go, and the slope down on the one side, and the windows, and for natural light would come in on the south and the east, and all that kind of stuff. And they built it anyhow. So when you said that, it's like, well, that makes such a neat testimony to me and what my brother and I were talking about, because I believe God gave them that word of wisdom on, just showed them how to do it. And I was recently chatting with a brother in the Lord, I guess it was a month or so ago, but he was explaining to me that the Lord showed him how to do something, to fix something, and kind of redo something in his house, his garage, and that kind of thing. And he showed him how to do it in his mind. I guess that would be a word of wisdom, kind of just downloading something into somebody's mind on how to do it. Is that what you're saying? Hello? Is that what you're saying? Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for helping me
Yeah, I was
understand that.
reading something else while ago while you were talking, but yeah,
So you
that's
didn't
what
hear
it
my awesome testimony of my
is.
dad
I
was like a
heard it. I
carpenter
heard it
and
witness.
built the
That's an
barn from scratch,
awesome.
and
Oh my.
it's okay. I love you. I
Lord,
forgive.
help us. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Give me the gift of faith, Lord. Amen. Okay. So the gift of what were we on? Wisdom. Gift of wisdom is just wisdom into something that you don't understand, and he gives that wisdom to you. Word of knowledge. What's the difference between wisdom and knowledge? Well, who wants to tackle word of knowledge, what it is? How many of you know one of the greatest, I'll put it in 20th century, word of knowledge men that you've ever heard of? Anybody ever heard of William Branham? He worked almost primarily in that and faith in the word of knowledge. That is, you getting information on somebody that you have never met in your life and you don't know anything about them, but you tell them exactly what's wrong with them and how they came about, that kind of stuff. That's what word of knowledge is. And he was great. The woman up there in the eighth row in the balcony up there, you've been diagnosed with cancer. The Lord said, reach up and holler at him and you'll be healed in Jesus' name. And she'd be healed, something like that, Or they'd walk up to him. And he said, your name is so and so and such and such. You live at so and so and such. And you brought somebody up here with you that needs help, that kind of thing. He didn't know the people. He didn't have a clue who they were until the Lord started speaking to him. And that's the word of knowledge. Anybody else got something else? Word of knowledge is pretty easy to understand. Yeah, Missy.
I just wanted to say that Sandy, she could sit and tell stories all day long. And she, I remember her telling me some stories about when she first met her brothers and everything, when she first went to Arkansas, and words of knowledge and stuff like that that she got, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. It was just amazing, you know.
Yeah. She had that gift. But you know what she did, Missy? She prayed in tongues a lot. She prayed in tongues almost continually.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. And she'd pray and she'd talk to the Lord by herself, you know. That's a key to getting these gifts and to working in them a lot. So does everybody understand the difference between the wisdom and knowledge? In your heart, do you understand that you can tell someone? Because that's our job, is to tell other people what the gifts are and how they operate and how the power that's behind it, of course, is the Holy Spirit. Why is the Holy Spirit important? Yeah, Julie.
His everything. He's like, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and he's the one who teaches us and conforms us, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's our connection. We're spiritual beings. God is spirit, and if we don't have that, we're lost. We have nothing.
Yeah,
So,
we're the
yeah,
temple of the Holy Spirit.
yeah, I mean that's our, it's part of our eternal covenant, the Holy Spirit, and he it's his working in us by the Spirit God to come in, to conform to the image of God. So without
Well,
that, we're nothing.
let me ask you a question, and this is for everybody. If you weren't filled with the Holy Spirit, what kind of a Christian would you be? You'd be a powerless Christian. You would have no power. You would have no hope. You'd be walking by the flesh rather than the spirit. You'd never have that peace in your heart like we do with the Holy Spirit. You'd always have fear in you. And when you've got the Holy Spirit, fear goes. It can't stay. You would have no hope for health, healing. When somebody prays for you. Now you can get a spirit-filled person to pray for you and you can be healed. Believe it or not, you can, because he's believing. Yeah. Well, unless you're once saved, always saved, I'm just saying. But anyway, I like what Lester Sumrall, I believe it was. He got the Holy Spirit. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told him after he was baptized to go down, to go find Howard Carter. Howard Carter was a famous teacher of the Word of God back in the early 1900s. And he went all over the world. He was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. And the Lord told Lester Sumrall through a word of knowledge that he was to go to find Howard Carter and go wherever he went and go with him and help him. He said, "Okay, Lord, where do I go? Where do I go to find Howard Carter?" He said, he said, oh gosh, dadgummit. He said to go down. That's what he said. He said to go down Well, he was in, I believe he was in Indiana at the time. And he said, go down. That means Australia. So he gets, and the Lord confirmed it. He went to Australia. And he pulled in to this town, where I forget the name of it. And the Lord had told Howard Carter, Wellington, I think is what the name of it. And the Lord had told Howard Carter he was doing a conference call, a conference meeting in Australia at the time at another town. And the Lord told him, said, send somebody down there to meet Lester and bring him up here where you are. And the guy went to his town, and sitting on his doorstep was Lester Sumrall. He'd already gotten there. And he took him up to meet Howard Carter. They hooked up, and Lester was the evangelist. And of course, Carter was the teacher. But the gifts of the Holy Spirit worked in both of those men tremendously during that world trip that they took together. And Carter taught Lester Sumrall the gifts of the Spirit and what they were all about. And it's an amazing story. If you get a chance, you ought to check it out. But anyway, that's what the Spirit of God can do. He can take you thousands of miles away to pinpoint you in a place to where God wants you and have somebody there waiting on you. That's a word of knowledge. Yeah, Lucy.
What came to me just a little bit ago was like back to the wisdom thing. What came to me was, Solomon was known for his wisdom, right? And what came to me is the two women that were arguing over this baby, was saying, no, that's mine, no, it's mine. And remember how he determined to me, I
Yep.
mean, yeah, this is the Old Testament, but that's like it wasn't the Lord just gave him wisdom. He just had
Yeah.
wisdom. It wasn't like a spiritual gift or per se. I mean, but if somebody walked around and had that kind of wisdom nowadays, they'd say that was a gift of the Spirit, like, okay, this is what you do. Okay. I forget exactly, but what he did, to determine who the real mother was, so we'll cut the baby in half, and then he found out quickly who the real mother was, because she was like, no, and the other ones, yeah, that's a good idea. Well, it wasn't her baby, so she didn't care. But anyway, so that to me was like an astounding thing that he did, I mean, who'd
Yeah.
ever thought of doing that? That was something, wow. But anyway, I was just thinking about, I mean, that could be, somebody would do that, something similar to that or whatever. That would be considered like a word of wisdom or whatever, or just something wise to solve a problem or something like that, like he did, right?
Yeah,
Okay.
absolutely. Yeah. Okay, anybody else on the two gifts of knowledge and the gift of wisdom? It's like the Lord wanted you to build a house, and you didn't know anything about building a house. Well, Lord, you're going to have to show me how to do it. And he'll show you point A, B, C, and D to get it done. Liable to be in dreams. It's liable to be in him just talking to you. And he's liable to send an angel down there to help you. I don't know. Okay, anybody else? All right. Yeah, Missy.
Something that just came to me is when a couple of years ago, or more about a year and a half ago, maybe at the most, I was asking Lord, what can we do to keep fudge in the yard? We tried this collar, that if she went out, we'd beep her, but you have to be constantly watching her, I mean, it would shock her and her beeper and it'd vibrate, but after she learned, after getting shocked like a couple times, you beep her, she would come back. And we tried this other kind of invisible fence kind of thing. And what popped into my head was GPS. I never heard about it. I never knew about it, but it popped into my head. That was the Lord. Because that's what we got, GPS, it just automatically by GPS puts the boundaries on your yard, And she wears a collar and she can't go past it, or whatever, it'll beep or whatever. And yeah, that was like I guess you'd say a word of knowledge that the Lord gave me. And I was like so happy. And it's worked really well. It's re worked really well. She has not gone except well, if she goes out, she comes right back. But she's not going in the road or anything that I know of since we've had that for her. So anyway, so that was an experience I had. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Well, when I knew I was going to come here, I knew it through the Word of God, through Word of Knowledge. He told me, he said, "You're going to Tennessee to help David." And I said, "When?" He said, "In time." And then when he did tell me, it was, I was happy, glad to go. I knew it. I knew it was time to go. I want to read you something from Kenneth Hagin. His experience with being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. He said, "Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know about them tongues things." He said, "I don't know about that." He said, "Them tongues things, that's kind of weird stuff." He said, "I don't know about that." And the Lord, let me just read it a little. Y'all mind if I read it a little bit? It's kind of interesting the way that the Lord brought him into it. Okay. Hagin said, "Lord," said, "I sense a lack of power in my own life. And I know I need the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and I expect to receive all right. But I am of the opinion that tongues don't go along with the baptism in the Holy Ghost, and that they're not for us today." Immediately, the Lord spoke to my heart. I knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking through the Word of God. That same still small voice that had brought me off a bed of sickness and into divine healing asked me, "What does Acts 2:39 say?" I quoted the scripture, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Then the still small voice said, "What promise is that?" I said, "The last part of Acts 2:38 says, 'And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.'" So the reference here is to the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then I hastened to add, "But Lord, I believe in the Holy Ghost. It's tongues I'm not sure about." He said, I had changed it a little bit this time to, "I'm not sure." He's trying to line up with the Word of God without doing it too quick. The Holy Spirit always leads us in line with the Word of God, and the Word of the Spirit agrees. 1 John 5:7-8. I am not in favor of just following voices, he said, because you can go wrong following voices. You can follow the wrong voice, 1 Corinthians 14:10, but you can never go wrong following the voice or the leading of the Holy Spirit, because he will always lead you in line with the Word of God. Jesus said, he, that's the Holy Spirit, shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. John 16:14. And he shall not speak of himself, but thank God he does speak. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. John 16:13. Every born-again believer has the Holy Ghost in a measure through the new birth. Yep. John 3:5, chapter 3, verses 5 and 8, and John 4:14. But this is not the same as a baptism in the Holy Spirit, the endowment of power from on high that Jesus talked about in Luke 24:49, Acts 1:8, and John 7:38. Just because someone is born again doesn't mean he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, there is the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, as we can see by the following scriptures in John 3:5-8. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Then Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself, I himself, the Spirit himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The work of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why that's in there, but anyway. We can see the work of the Holy Ghost in the new spirit, but there is also a work of the Holy Spirit that God desires to perform in the life of every believer, subsequent or following the new birth experience, and that's called the infilling of the Holy Spirit or the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was talking about in Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8. Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. Whoop, there it is, power from on high. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witness with unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he had told the Lord that he believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but he wasn't sure about tongues. And he says, the Lord told him, said, what does Acts 2:4 say? Of course, I could quote these scriptures from the book of Acts, but just because you have the word in your head does not mean that you really know what it means. In other words, you need to have the revelation of God's word in your spirit to really know and understand what it means. I believe that. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I got that far and said again, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. Then I exclaimed, oh, I see it. I see it. It says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And when I get filled with the Holy Ghost, I'll begin to speak with other tongues too. Lord, that settles it. I'm going right down to the full gospel preacher's house and receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So, yeah, tongues is for us. It's a mighty tool. A lot of people say it's the least of the gifts, but it's not. It's, in my opinion, it's the most important. All right. Anybody else on tongues? Yeah, Joe.
Well, I won't be sure. I can't understand why people want to change God's word. It's if it's in the word, why do you want to change it? because our Lord Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He needs power to obey, to walk like Christ, his anointing. So what makes us different? We need the same thing. Don't change God's work, because the Lord Jesus with his born again spirit make our temples holy. Holy Spirit can only live in a holy temple. Thank you.
Amen. I tell you why they like to change the word of God is because they like to easy greasy grace that they have. It's easier for them because if they don't have the power and they can't demonstrate the power of God, they don't have to. If they preach that the Holy Ghost is not for now. I don't know how they can skip around on the Bible like they do. I really don't. I don't understand that at all. And people don't see it. What about this verse? What about this verse? That's why when I go later today, I'll tell you a testimony. Later today, I was over at the grocery store. Y'all, she was bent double. She was holding on to a cart with her head below the handles. Yeah. A small lady. And she was an elderly lady, and she was in the checkout line, and I was right behind her. And I waited and I watched her and I waited until she got out to her car, and I went out there. I said, "Do you believe that God can heal, and will heal you?" "Yeah, I believe that." When she could talk, and I said, "Well, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to heal you. There are some things that you need to do. Don't go by your feelings. Don't go by what your body feels like. Just go by what the Word of God says." And the Word of God says in 1 Peter 2:24, "By His stripes, you are already healed. And all you do now, after I get through praying for you, is thank God and praise Him from that point on, and you'll be healed." And so I prayed for her, commanded that thing to go out of her. I didn't even ask her what it was. It was a demon, is what it was. In the name of Jesus, I commanded that body to be healed and to line up, back, to line up with the Word of God, the standard stuff, and commanded all that. And I told her, I said, "Now from this point on, you thank God and confess that you're healed." I said, "And God will do it, and you can give Him the glory. I don't have any power at all other than what the Holy Ghost gives me." And so I believe if she drove out of there and before she got to the house, I believe she was healed. That's just my, I believe it. I believe it. And she's going to be a test. She's going to have a living testimony about the glory of God. And that's what the gifts are for, is to get the word of God out. And when you learn about the gifts of the Spirit, you should give it off to somebody else. That's what it is. It's a gift. Excuse me. Get out of there in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I believe it, Jenny. And she was able to take her own groceries in. Praise God. I bet she's dancing around in her house like that other lady I prayed for one time. Yeah. Boogieing down, boy, to Jesus. Amen. But that's what it's for. It's to demonstrate the Lord in us for the lost. Yeah, she's telling everybody. Said, "I don't know who that fellow was, but all he told me to do is to praise God that I'm healed." And I got home and I got out that car and I stood straight up and got them groceries out the car, went in the house and started dancing. Glory to God. Put on some praise. I can just see her. Praise God. All right. Anybody else on tongues and the gifts of anything? What's the next gift you want to talk about? What's the gift of faith? Go ahead, Julie. I'll let you decide.
It doesn't matter. There's like nine of them, right? But there's more gifts than that, I guess now. But those are the ones written there that, the gift of discernment of spirits.
Okay. Who wants to talk about the gifts of the discernment of spirits?
What is it? How does it work?
Okay. Anybody know? Anybody want to go ahead and talk about the discernment, discerning of spirits? Here's what the word says about it. Yeah. Here's what the word said about it, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, probably in the King James. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all of these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Amen. All right, what is the discerning of spirits? What is it? What I'll go ahead, Ben. Then I'll ask a question.
I mean, I think I like to think of it very simply. Like you can sort of, not to use the word discern, but to smell what spirit this person has. Whenever someone crazy comes by or someone says something weird, and I'm with Karen, I usually go like this because I'm like, I'm smelling something, something's going on right now. And then they start acting even more weird and whatnot. And so that's my sort of experiences that I've had. I don't discern every spirit because I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of like judging people sometimes, and I don't want to like be like, oh, that person's gonna go crazy, because I don't want to speak that or even think that, because I don't think that's right. I guess I'm still kind of learning. And I don't want to like put myself on a high horse or anything, but I would say that it's more like warnings of what could happen or what might happen. But when it's a discernment from the actual spirit, it's going to come and it's going to happen. Like there's no second guessing, there's no nothing. It's just like, oh, this is going to happen. And I smell this off this person, so maybe I should be weak to the weak here. Or maybe I should stay away from this topic or whatnot. And sometimes you can just blatantly see it in their body language or the way that they sort of react to what you're saying. That's fairly easy. It's a very obvious discernment of how this person is acting. But even when someone's behaving in a way and you know that there's something behind the words that they're speaking, like you know the spirit that they have within you, like they're not lying, but they're not telling that whole truth of what spirit they're carrying or whatnot. And I don't know. That's just how I see it. Like people might say something, but then they have a different spirit behind it, or they might be hiding something, or and so the Lord uses that within us to try and help evangelize to someone maybe, because sometimes they may have gone through something similar to you. And that's something that you can discern, because that's something that he's already taught you and shown you and give you wisdom on and knowledge on. And, it's all used to, all gifts are used to edify the church. And so if this person is a called person and they have some sort of spirit that the Lord has given you knowledge about or has delivered, even delivered you from, he will use that in you. He will discern it within you, and you'll be like, oh, this person has a spirit of whatever you can think of. And he sort of gives you that because it's like, you went through that, or you know something about that. And he's going to use it so that you can give this person, well, God's going to use you so that the fruit that he's going to give to them will be taught through you. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's all a tool for the edification of the church.
Amen. And it's not used to judge, like you said. You don't use it to judge anybody. You just cast them out and go home. Don't worry about it. It's discerning, discerning of spirits. It's not discernment of their character. It's discerning of spirits. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
In my personal experience with it, I've not actually seen spirits, demonic spirits, or whatever. I've not seen in the spirit realm that way. However, I know that I've been around people who discerned spirits, and I'm not going to share that anyhow. Anyhow, but what I have also have in my experience, in a type of discernment, I knew when I could feel, like then when you were saying you smelt something. I have smelled things. I've also felt very, very dark, evil spirits. I've felt their presence around me. Not that it was me, but there was other people around me, and the Lord was helping me to understand things that were going on in the spirit realm that I couldn't see, but I was discerning that there was an evil presence here. I mean, I just felt it. So there's that. I believe it is being able to see these demons, they manifest, and that God gives that gift to see that there is demons manifesting in a person or on a person or around a person. They're in the room, or they might see them in their eyes. I've heard David say that that's how he has seen demons in people's eyes. However that looks, I'm not sure, but that's how I've seen it. When I look up the word discernment in the Bible, it comes up under discerning. In Webster's, it says distinguishing, seeing, discovering, knowing, and judging. A having power to discern, capable of seeing, discriminating, knowing, and judging, sharp-sighted, penetrating, acute, as a discerning man or mind. So there is seeing. It's a gift, right? Obviously, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus obviously had that gift because he had everything. He had all the gifts. But to be able to know what you're dealing with, and that this person, that there are demons operating through this person, and it's not and how to use that, how to use that gift to help people, because it's for the body, to help people get delivered of things and that they're in. And anyhow, it's something that you can't judge, but you also need to know. I guess I would sense that if somebody has these demonic spirits hanging on them, hitchhiking, traveling along with them, and them by their fruit, that this is the kind of thing that would be manifesting too through their actions and through their words and stuff, knowing how to pray for that person or to minister to that person. That's kind of how I see it would work.
Amen.
It would work in the body.
Amen. I remember the first time I saw the spirits. I wouldn't even feel with the Holy Ghost at the time, but I had discernment of spirits, believe it or not, because I could see them demons. A demon. We went to a lady's house over in Memphis to pray for her. She was a hoarder. You know what a hoarder is? Somebody that they'll throw away nothing. And I mean it. You had to push your way inside her house to get in there, and went over to her, and we started praying for her. We scattered all over because it wasn't like it was an open room. You just had to find a place to step. Anyway, we got over there and we started praying for her. There was three or four of us over there. I don't forget how many. And I saw this green imp-looking thing jump off of her and come running out the door, started hissing at me. I said, "Don't even slow down. Get on out the door right now, in Jesus' name." And out it went, screaming and a hollering. And the next time I saw it, I was over at my friend's house. This was a long time ago. I saw him at my friend's house, and he said, "See that man over there?" And it was a big country looking guy that had coveralls on, overalls on, and not coveralls, but overalls, you know what the, and he was standing up there and he had a big toad frog hooked to him, all over him. I mean, he was just connected to a spirit of lust, and that was he was gone. Or he was saying, and from then on, I've been able to see, and God's been grateful to me. I've been able to see discerning of spirits now is both good and evil. That's good and evil. So I've been able to see angels all the time. I see them, you know, not all the time, but when I want to. And it's pretty, it's nice. It's really nice. And I know some of y'all have too. You've seen angels and seen demons and stuff. Anyway, not that I'm anybody else can do it, because it's part of the gifts of the Spirit. And I ain't got nothing, but I just like to do it. I like to pray in tongues, being a lot. All a lot. Go ahead, Andrew.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, one of the more obvious ones is when you're getting tempted and you discern this right away, and that's a discerning of spirits. And when you have the practice of this, then you can actually help someone else who might be tempted in that, and tell them, well, that's what I have experienced, this very same thing, and this is what it is, you know. And of course, you have to share with them also that they have authority to cast it out. And so I believe that there's different levels to these discernments, because he starts with your vessel, I believe, and then you can go to the next person with it. And that's, you know, that's what I knew anyway.
When you sow what you know about the Spirit of God, more come on you. It'll come back to you. So you need to give it out, and you learn about it, understand it. So let's see, where were we? Or which one were we on? Discerning of spirits? Okay. Has anybody got any questions about discerning of spirits? Like I said, it's good or bad, and you only use it to help people, not to rip them down. Yeah, Julie.
When this hypothetical, but maybe you've been in this situation, any of you been in this situation before, where you discerned spirits on somebody that were manifesting, you know, how, when would you not minister a gift of deliverance in helping somebody get delivered from them? Because you see them, they know, you can tell what's going on there. When would there ever be a situation where you wouldn't offer them deliverance and want to help them?
If you knew for a fact that they weren't going to come to the Lord, I even have to stop right there. Listen, if you free somebody up from a demonic spirit, he don't want that spirit back on him. And you have to tell him, the Lord Jesus Christ took that spirit off of you. And if you want to keep that spirit off of you, then you have to repent and come into the kingdom of God. So you'll have the power to keep it off of you. But as it is, it's just going to go out there and do a wheelie, come right back on you. You're going to have the same problems when I get out of here that you had before. That's a good evangelism tool. But you got to set them free first, because they don't know what freedom is. That's in my opinion. In my opinion, you got to set them free first. And if they want it back, they'll get that one back and a bunch more if they want it. But you know, when somebody gets free of demonic entities, they don't want that thing back on them. That's been my experience. They don't want it back on but they don't know what freedom is if you don't take it off of them. That's the way I believe. Yeah, Barbara.
Well, they'd have to repent first, because I had a situation going on here in my family, and she wanted to be delivered of something, and I felt the Lord say to go ahead and deliver her, but even though she mouthed with, said she, oh, she'll repent. In her heart, she really didn't. And so now she's back to the same problem that she had prior to me. And she knows it's a demon. She's just not ready to come to the Lord. And I just pray, Lord, draw her to you. And he's using these demons, I'm sure. But she has to repent to be stayed free. And she's not really there. You know what
Does
I
she
mean?
understand? Yeah, I do. I understand that. But when she got free, did she like it?
Well, I don't really know. Yeah, because she said she felt a relief, but I don't really know. Don't know what happened, because I even told her, I said, if you don't repent, and turn to the Lord and give up. And she was wanting to give up his sin. I just don't want to go into details, but she
That's
wanted to
fine,
give up.
yeah.
She wanted to give up this sin, and I lost my train of thought. And Lord help me. Yeah,
Well, look, here's go
she
ahead,
wanted to
Barbara.
get, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get my words together here. I lose my train of thought
No, you
sometimes,
don't.
and I just have trouble getting my words together.
No, you don't.
But yeah, thank you, Lord. So anyway, she said she wanted to repent. I mean, she said she wanted to, she wanted out of this thing. I don't know how she got right back into it. I mean, I guess I did tell her this. This is what I did tell her. I says, if you don't really repent in your heart, like you're telling me, you're repenting. I said, seven more demons are going to come. I told her, I said, more fierce demons are going to come. And she told me later on, she said, that's what she believes, that's what happened. And even, I just had a conversation with her yesterday, and even then, she says she knows, but I guess she's just not ready to repent. I don't understand really what's going on here. I just pray
Okay.
for
All
her.
right.
I
Yeah.
don't know what else is going on.
That sounds like the best thing to do because if you told her that if you don't repent, this thing's coming back on you and seven more just like it's going to be right there with you. And if she still didn't repent, then you've done everything that you could.
She thought she did, though. I mean, here's what I, okay. She repented of the sin, but she didn't repent to turn her life to God. That's the bottom line. You know what I mean? She didn't want to sin, this particular thing she was battling, but she just not ready to go to God. She's not ready to turn her life over to God.
Well, that's pretty obvious. Yeah, I just let
Yeah.
her know. You tell her when you make up your mind that you want to go with God, next time she comes to you and she's in torment, just tell her next time you're ready to go to God, to be delivered of this, you have to go to the Lord and you have to stay with the Lord. This is not a hit and miss thing. It's going to happen, but it's going to be seven times more terrible. Even the next time, if we cast them out, it's come on. You're going to be worse than you were before. So, do you want to give your life to Christ, or do you want to go ahead and struggle with these demons the rest of your life? But first, you have to free them up so they'll understand what freedom is. And if they get freed, then and they still want to go back to the demons, well, they can go back. They'll have seven more. They'll just be happy as a toad in the water. Yeah, Andrew.
You know, when I studied this a couple of days, like I think it was Friday, right after we got off on Thursday. And I was going to start reading chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. And then the Lord said, I want you to go back to 11. And I forgot what was in 11. And that's where the Lord's Supper is. And you can see a discerning here of spirits that's happening in this Corinthian church here. And I went, wow, I never thought of doing that before. And you know, when you read the end of 11, it goes into 12. So, it's pretty neat, and of course there's the woman thing there with the head covering before that too. So there has to be some discernment here, and so there's actually some discerning of spirits right in that verse, in the verses in chapter 11 too. So just wanted to bring that up. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. All right, anyone else? A lot of people won't pray for people who are filled with spirits, demon spirits, but unless they're saved. How do they even know what saved is until they get the demons out of them? You've got to free them up, and but you have to also tell them the like we talked about. You have to tell them what has to be done. You need to repent, which means turn around, quit doing what you was doing, start doing what God wants you to do. Or they're going to come back, and they're going to hit you seven times worse. Now, which do you want? I had one guy tell me I told him, I said, he wanted me to get rid of the demons. And I said, okay, I'm going to get rid of them. But here's what's going to happen if you don't repent and come to the Lord. He said, what's that? I said, seven more demons are going to come back with the one that was we're going to cast out of there, and you're going to be worse off than you was before. If you don't repent and come to the Lord. But if you repent and come to the Lord, you're going to be free the rest of your life as long as you do what the Lord tells you in His Word. He said, I'll tell you what, let's just pass that up right now. And that's what he told me. He said, I don't want that right now. I said, okay. I said, all right, but that's what happens. And he didn't want to repent. He was happy with the demon he had. But if you free him up, if they don't understand what freedom is, then they get a lot of most of them will, when they get freed up. Oh, my grace. I had one lady, she slid out of a chair. I mean, she was full of demons. She slid out of a chair like a snake. Didn't like she had, didn't have a bone in her body. I mean, just took on the contour of the chair and come out of that thing and started slithering around on the floor. I said, come out of her right now in the name of Jesus. The ladies that was with me went over, let me get this window so them demons can get out of here. I said, well, go ahead. So, but she sat up and she said, oh my, I've never felt this good. I've never felt this good. And she was instantly delivered of those, she was a drug addict of those demons. Instantly, boy. I mean, she was a changed woman after that. Praise God. And she loved the Lord too. That's what freedom does. That shows people that God loves them and they'll want to follow Him. But they don't know until you get them free, is mine. A lot of people want to, well, they're not saved. It don't make any difference. Most of the people Jesus paid for wasn't saved. If not all of them. Go ahead, dude.
Well, I was just thinking when you were saying that, Mike, I was trying to remember what Jesus told the disciples. And when he sent out the 12 apostles, I'm reading from Matthew 10. And Jesus sent forth the 12 and charged them, saying, "Go not into any of the Gentiles, into the way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give. And get no gold, no silver, no brass in your purses, no wallet for your journey, neither two coats, nor shoes, nor staff, for the laborer is worthy of his food. And into what city or village you enter, search out who is this worthy. And there abide till you go forth. And as you enter the house, salute it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall receive you, excuse me, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words as you go forth out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." And yeah, anyhow, so I was thinking people need to hear the gospel, right? They need to hear the good news. They need to get free from the demonic. And if they have ears to hear, that's a gift of the Lord. They're going to receive what you have to say, and they want going to want deliverance.
That's
They're
why
going to
you
want to be freed up.
teach them. That's why you
Yeah.
teach them before you do that. Tell them what's
Yeah.
going to happen.
Yeah. God bless the men out there evangelizing and the street preachers who are doing that right now. I know there are. Going out there doing those things, and people on even on the internet, doing their jobs and preaching and teaching and filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, and that people really do want these things. And I thank you, Lord, for deliverance for your children of God who really want it. And the devil has to let go. I thank you, Lord, that your power supersedes any other power out there, Father, and that and pray your blessing and anointing on the men out there doing this work of your kingdom, preaching repentance, and the John the Baptist ministers and all these men doing their work, Lord, to bring heaven down here, this gift of salvation, deliverance, and healing, and to be free from demonic strongholds and oppression and depression and to come into their right minds and know that God loves them and to want to be continue to walk with the Lord. And we pray for those people, Lord, that are rebelling, that they've got this stronghold, a demon that doesn't want to let them go, a sin they don't want to give up, or just a lying devil that thinks that, is holding him in bondage, that you're always going to be this way and you can't get free. We rebuke those demons in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for pouring out your spirit on your people, Lord, to do this work of evangelism and ministry of deliverance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I give you a prime example of spirit in a place. Last week it was, I was over at my favorite place where I go and I pray and I read the Word of God. It's a park. We call it the Plantation Park. And man, I got over there and I felt weird. There was an obsession. Not an obsession. Oppression. Oppression. Very, very, very heavy oppression and fear. And I kept commanding that thing to go and commanding that thing to go. And I believe it was witchcraft. And I tried to call some people, and I finally got a hold of Julie, and we prayed together. How many of you know when one prays, you send 1,000. When two prays, 10,000 got to go. So we started praying, and I don't know, we prayed probably 10, 15 minutes. This is a big park. It's about 1,500 acres, and there's a lot of bad things that go on in that place, it looks like. So we prayed, and everything was fine. I mean, it was just as clear as a bell. Next day, I went out there, and it was clear as a bell. I mean, it was just perfect. And a couple of days later, I went back out there, and that fear and that oppression was back. And I knew at the time that it was witchcraft. Somebody was either witchcraft and probably sacrificing and that kind of thing going on somewhere close by, and they were praying against what was going on there, I guess. And so I just I couldn't break it, so I just got in my truck and went home. And Angelica and Debbie called me and said that they went out there after I did, and they couldn't go but just a few feet inside the gate, which is way up the past where I was. I mean, before I was where I was way down on the plantation. And they knew it was witchcraft too. So yesterday, David and I told David, I said, come on, let's go out to the plantation park. We need to pray over that place. There's witchcraft going on, and maybe some sacrifice. It looked like somebody had gone over there and knocked off bricks off the old plantation house, and just stuff. Anyway, Brandy was with us. We all three went over there and went to praying and commanding, and it's free again. It's free again. We commanded the angels to stay there and keep that place free, so that I actually believe that they were might have been trying to snatch people to, for sacrifices and things like that, because it was that bad. It was really, really tough. And anyway, it's free now, praise God. And so I had another place that I was praying on. It was a lot smaller park. I call it the Blockhouse Park, Tellico Blockhouse Park. And last year, I prayed that there would be a big angel that would stay there and keep that park free of all demonic activity. And I went back over there here about a week and a half ago, and that angel was still there. And it was a blessed park. It's a blessed park, boy, I'm telling you. People come over there, they bring their dogs, they're and kids and stuff. It's just a nice park. But that's what we can, that's what the Holy Spirit's for, is to help free up the area, free up your neighborhood, like y'all were talking about. And I would make it a habit. I told David I'm fixing to start walking through my neighborhood and start praying it. Even though it's a long walk down the hill and up the hill, but that's all right. I can make it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, free up the people, and start talking to the people about the Lord and what's fixing to happen, you know. Just free up the neighborhood, and we got other people doing the same thing, also. So, praise God for the Holy Spirit. All right. Now that we've talked about the discernment of spirits, what's next? We talked about tongues, discernment. We talked about wisdom and word of knowledge. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
What about the gift of faith?
Gift of faith. Amen. How do you get the gift of faith? Okay, go ahead. I'm going to give Missy a chance.
Well, you exercise it, believe it, believe that, there's nothing impossible with God to them that believe. And, just exercise, just practice exercising your faith, exercising my faith,
Amen.
being bold. The Lord's
Amen.
been really helping me to do that as I walk through the neighborhood and come across people, and thank you, Lord. So that's what comes to me.
Amen. How do you get bold faith? I know you said all those things, but there's one special way to do it. Yeah, Missy.
Praying in tongues.
Well, that's another one, but doesn't meditating on the word.
Yeah, I
Meditating
believe.
on the word. Meditating on the word is a good one. That puts takes it from here to here. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I didn't see your hand up there. It's kind of hiding.
That's because I just put it up.
Okay.
I thought, now I know what Missy is talking about, and I mean I know that's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith and stuff, and we're supposed to do just that, exercising it. But I thought, now I'm not sure I'm right, but I thought that this gift of faith is a like a special gift that is of a gift that's like you're operating in that gift of faith. It's like you, when you pray something or you command something or you say whatever, it's like you just know that you know that you know that you know, and it's you know, it's a done deal no matter what. It's a gift, and it's a knowing, it's an overpowering, you know, sense of, and some people, I don't know if it's, I know I had it one time when I prayed and I was very concerned about somebody, and I had an overwhelming sense of peace and just a full assurance that this person was going to be okay. And I believe that was a gift of faith that the Lord gave me, along with maybe just his presence and his peace. But because it was something, and I prayed and I just like as soon, it just like it hit me. I was in the stairwell at work. So I'll never forget where it was at. It's like, and it just, I had this overwhelming, just knowing everything was going to be okay. So I don't, I'm assuming that's what that is.
Yeah. The gift of healing is the same way. I've had both. And the gift of healing, you know, when you put your hands on somebody and pray for them, they're going to get healed. Just like you was talking about. There ain't no doubt in your mind those people are healed. And they are every time, every time. That's happened to me a few times, not as much as I'd like, but the Lord wants us to learn faith and what we have, you know, but he gives it to us when we need it. The gift of faith is the same way. If you're believing for your family, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, they're coming in the kingdom. That's the gift of faith. It is. It's a separate thing rather than just regular faith. It's a gift of faith and a gift of healing. The gift of healing is the same way. It's a knowing, man. I know when I put my hands on somebody. That's happened to me a number of times years ago. Amen. Barbara, amen. You got to know him. Go ahead.
Wow, that's good to know. Then I just got my prayer answered, because I've been praying for a while to have the gift of faith. And I've had that happen to me a couple times where I just have a knowing. Like the one that I could think of was when my daughter lost her cat and was missing for 3 weeks. And I just had a knowing and peace, and I just knew. I just knew God was going to, you know, find that cat. And also I have a knowing that my family, you know, my kids are coming into the kingdom, and I just have that peace and knowing, you know. Of course, sometimes I don't like seeing all the stuff that is going on, you know, emotionally speaking, but you know, I do know they're coming in, and I just praise God for that. Anyways, yeah, that's good to know. Thank you, Lord, for giving me the gift of faith. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All of those gifts comes at the will of the Lord. If, whatever you need at that particular time is when it comes. It's, you can ask the Lord to give it to you, but it's at his will that it comes. And if you believe it, it'll come. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, the time when Jesus went into, I think he was, I forget exactly where it was. I don't know if it was Solomon's porch or I forget where it was, and there was a bunch of people around the pool of Siloam was where it was. And he picked out one man out of all those people. Just one man. And to me, that was a word of knowledge, gift of faith to believe that, you know, I mean, of course, when Jesus said something, it happened, but, you know, it's like, oh, Lord, can't wait till, you know, I mean, wow. Until there's the man child's, the bride's walking around doing the exact same thing as Jesus did. I mean, yeah, we believe that we have that ability now, but when that anointing, when we, wow, you know, it's gonna happen. And we're gonna see immediate results. That's the way I look
Amen.
at it at all. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Do y'all mind if I give you a difference between the word of knowledge and wisdom, according to Ken Hagin? Y'all want to hear that? It's pretty good. He said, I said that the word of knowledge is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning certain facts in the mind of God, facts about people, places, or things in the past or present, about people. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind and will of God. The word of wisdom is the best gift because it is a revelation concerning the plans and the purposes in the mind of God. Difference between the two gifts, the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, is that the revelation the word of knowledge brings is always present tense or concerning something that has happened in the past. On the other hand, the word of wisdom always speaks of the future. Word of wisdom is future. The word of knowledge is something that's a present or something that has happened in the past. That's pretty simple. I like that better. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
So that brings a question to my mind then, and how does prophecy fit in? And what is prophecy if that isn't like something to come to in the future, or that the Lord reveals, speaks prophetically through one of his, prophets about people. Like I've had, and maybe if the person was operating in those other gifts, but he had the gift of prophecy and he spoke things to me that I would be doing. And XYZ or things that pertain to me pertain to how God was going to use me. And isn't that something of the future?
Listen to what Hagin says, and I like what he says. Prophecy can be a vehicle through which other gifts can flow. So the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge can flow with the prophetic word. The prophet of the Old Testament had to have the word of wisdom and manifestation in his ministry to be able to stand in the office of the prophet, because he made predictions concerning the future. And the simple gift of prophecy does not include with it the element of predicting or foreseeing into the future. The prediction the Old Testament prophets gave, even though it came by prophecy, was actually a word of wisdom in operation. For example, you may ride in an automobile, but that doesn't make you an automobile. How many of you know that? You can eat a hamburger. That don't mean you are a hamburger. Anyway, In other words, sometimes a word of wisdom is conveyed through the vehicle of prophecy, but it really isn't prophecy in and of itself. It is a word of wisdom. In other words, prophecy can just be the vehicle through which the word of wisdom comes. The simple gift of prophecy, as listed in 1 Corinthians 14:3, is given for edification, exhortation, and comfort. There is no element of prediction or foretelling in the simple gift of prophecy whatsoever. Therefore, you can tell when an utterance is no longer just a simple gift of prophecy in operation, because it will include some revelation in it. When these elements of predictions and foretelling are in operation in one who is in the ministry, particularly in the office of a prophet, although predictions may come by prophecy, it is really a word of wisdom in manifestation. This is particularly true if the prediction comes through a minister who stands in the office of the prophet. Prophecy then is just a vehicle through which the word of wisdom comes. Now, did that make sense to anybody? Okay, good. What is prophecy? Speaking of the future? Speaking about things in the future? He says that prophecy, or any of the revelation gifts come through the vehicle of prophecy, especially on more of a continual basis, will normally come through the office of the prophet. Hagin was a prophet. He had words of wisdom all the time that came from the Lord. He would speak in tongues and interpret it almost immediately every time. That's what Lake did. Same thing. And it was a word of wisdom that came out from his tongues. If a person is just used in the simple gift of prophecy, but does not have these revelation gifts in operation, then his prophesying is a simple gift of prophecy and demonstration, and it is used to bring edification, exhortation, and comfort, not revelation. That's kind of what we get here mostly, is edification, exhortation, and comfort, not revelation. Therefore, the word of wisdom can come through the vocal gift of an utterance, through prophecy or through tongues and interpretation. The word of wisdom can come also through a vision or by a dream. For instance, in the Old Testament, Joseph revealed to him God's plans and purposes for Joseph's future. Anyway, that's what it is. I cleared it up for me. I know everything there is to know about it. Okay, go ahead, Julie. Everything the Lord has taught me.
1 Corinthians 14, because we go through, chapter 12 and then 13, a more excellent way will I show you. And verse 14, 1, chapter 14, 1 says, follow after love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaks in tongues speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth, but in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification and exhortation and consolation. He that speaketh in a tongue edify himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church.
Okay, read
That's
that
why we.
about tongues again.
It said, verse 4, 14, 4, he that speaketh in a tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church.
If you want to edify yourself, build yourself up in the spiritual realm, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues.
Yep.
Y'all
Thank you, Lord.
remember Angelica's testimony the other night when she spoke in tongues for what was it, 4 hours? And then she had those revelations. Yeah,
And
Julie.
Angelica, she was seeking the Lord. She was seeking the Lord and she was pressing through because that's what she wanted. You know, she's like, she wasn't giving up. I want this. And that was really good.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for your
There.
gifts, all of them.
I mean, let me see here. I've got something here that we're going to study tomorrow about speaking in tongues and what it does for you. Again, that's I can't express enough that what it's done in my spiritual walk. Come out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Many times I've gone 4 hours, daily for a while. And boy, I tell you, it was just amazing what God did. Most of the time I'll go maybe an hour or two, but there's been a lot of times I go 4 hours. Because I'll tell you this, Mark, like she said the other night, when you get into tongues after an hour or two, the Spirit of God starts working in you. I'm telling you, He works in you. You feel the peace, the joy, and all of that from the Lord when you pray in tongues like that. I do like Lake does. I do it loud and long. That's what he said. I do it loud and long. I've prayed up here, be praying and praising God, praying up here, and I have my earphones on because I'll be listening to some kind of soft music while I'm praying. And David will walk in and grab me by the arm. It doesn't scare me. I just, what? The Lord's grabbing me. I know it's David. But anyway, it's awesome. He does the same thing. He prays in the Spirit a lot too. It eliminates a lot of problems before they happen. We need it. We all need it. I'm trying to find that booklet that we're going to do tomorrow. And it's another one by Hayden, actually. Well, I think I took them all downstairs. Put them in the truck for tomorrow. Pray in the Spirit until breakthrough. That's the name of it by Ken Hagin. Oh, here they are. Pray in the Spirit until breakthrough. I'm going to read this first paragraph. It's pretty neat. He said, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Lord Jesus, amen. Now listen real carefully because I'm about to tell you something that'll help you walk deeper with God than you've ever walked before, glory to God. And he's right. Not just deeper for a moment, but deeper for a lifetime. Not just stirred up tonight, but strengthened for every tomorrow. You know, people say to me, Brother Hagin, did you ever struggle with prayer? And he said, did you ever wonder if you were really making a difference? Did you ever sit down, open your Bible, and feel like you'd rather be somewhere else watching television, drinking coffee, and reading the newspaper? And I say, ha, do you think I floated down from heaven fully anointed, fully motivated, fully prepared to pray all day long without blinking an eye? He said, no. He said, I had to learn. I had to incline my ear. I had to push past my flesh, past my feeling, past my wandering thoughts, and into the Spirit. I had to learn the hard way what I'm about to teach you the easy way. Praise God. You can find it online. It's Pray in the Spirit Until Breakthrough. The Hagen. Boy, I remember the first time I prayed in tongues. I prayed for 4 hours. It felt so good, Andrew. Felt so good, man. I never felt that freedom in all my life. That's when I got tongues. The day I got tongues, I was out in my shop, for goodness sake, where all them nasty rags was everywhere, stepping in oil buckets and you know what? If you got a shop, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I stayed out there for 4 hours. Man, I tell you what, it was such a wonderful, wonderful, peaceful feeling I never had before. Never had it before. And that's why I try to do it as often as I can. I tell you something else, it goes. Fear. You don't have fear of anything. You don't have a fear of anything. You have the peace of God. Nothing can hurt you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. All right, anybody else? I'm tired of talking. Anybody got any questions? Oh my. I didn't know it was this close. See, is it 10 to 10? Almost. Yeah, Julie.
Okay, so one more. What is the workings of miracles?
All right, anybody want to venture?
That's one of the gifts too in 1 Corinthians 12.
Workings of miracles. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Well, one of the main things that kind of comes to my mind is when Jesus walked on water. I don't know. That sounds like a miracle to me. Because obviously a healing is a miracle as well, but they're kind of separating it as well. So I'm thinking you're like, what's the difference between a healing and a miracle? I would like, he walked on water. Nothing else is really coming to my mind, but like something that's like, a miracle. He killed a fig tree with his words. I wouldn't really call it a miracle, but his words and some stuff like that. I don't know, something that's not a healing. I don't know. That's the first thing that came to my mind.
Amen.
I
Yeah,
know
go ahead,
something.
Julie.
Raising the dead, I would think that'd be a miracle.
That's a miracle.
That'd be like a miracle, you know, because I'm thinking it's like it has to, you know, it's something that would benefit the body, you know, benefit the body is something like a need. I know Michael and David have had numerous miracles happening on Sunshine Mountain and in their home and in their assembly and stuff, but you know, obviously raising the dead is a huge
We've
one.
done that too. Yep. Oh, what is the best gift? What? What is the best gift out of all the gifts? I see the Holy Spirit. What is the best gift that the Holy Spirit gives out to his people? No. The best gift. What'd you say, Julie? Say that again. What did she say? Yeah, that's it.
I put
That's
it in
the
the
one.
chat. You want to go ahead and
One
read?
you need when you need it. That's the best gift. Amen. That's the best gift. Boy, I'll tell you what, I love talking about the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for everybody. Yeah, go ahead, Judy.
Just I like what it said in chapter 14 where it said that think it was in 14. Oh, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. That he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands. But in the spirit he speaks mysteries. And I that's really, to me, that's just very intriguing that we are speaking mysteries between me, I'm speaking mysteries between myself and God alone, And what that entails is, kind of cool.
Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father God, I just lift up my brothers and sisters here, and I praise you, and I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in all of us. I thank you, Lord, that every gift of the Holy Spirit is utilized, is used by everybody in this fellowship and those that are listening. I thank you, Lord, that all the gifts are available to all who ask and all who need it at the time. And I praise you, Father, that the gifts be in operation in everybody here in the name of Jesus when needed. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, it's going to be to your glory. God, we don't have any power other than what you've given, and that's you. And I praise you, Lord. That's the best, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the most powerful power in the universe. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. And Lord, let us understand who we are in you, Lord, that we walk a dominion over this earth, and we don't have to put up with any of the enemy's garbage. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, that the Holy Spirit in us is the greatest power on earth, and that we have it and we can utilize it to help the people. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show the gifts in operation in all of these people here and those that are listening in the name of Jesus. The other night we were praying back at over at Anna's, Matt's, and the Lord, this was at our Bible study. And I saw a white cloud. Just we were all standing up around in a circle like we do on Bible study day. And our book study, and there was a white cloud. It was a fluffy cloud, and then it spread out like a blanket. And each everybody had his individual blanket, and it went on each one of them. And that was an anointing that the Lord put on them to overcome. That's and Lord, I just pray that same thing on everybody here in the name of Jesus, that this anointing that you gave us the other day, that the same would happen here in Jesus' name. And those that are listening that receive it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for it. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for your overcoming power. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I ask also that the love of Jesus, the very love of Jesus, be evident in each and every one of us, Lord. Each and every one of us, that we would walk in that love, we would show that love, and the love of Jesus would come through, and people would notice, so what has happened to you? And Lord, I thank you for that in Jesus' name, that our mouth would be shut up speaking bad things, and that we would speak only the things of you, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for it. And I thank you for giving Andrew a lot of energy. And strength in his body in the name of Jesus to do what he's doing, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, thank you for the love you put in his heart for his daughter to help out with this child. And I thank you for it, Father. He loves it anyway. I know he does, because I do mine. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Sleep for Finn and Andrew. Who is Finn? Oh, is that the baby? Okay. All right. Yeah, Lord, let Finn. Is that a girl or a boy? Boy. Finnegan, okay. Boy, yeah, well, that makes sense. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Finn's going to be perfect gentleman tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that Shoshana and Kayla are going to be perfect girls too tonight, in Jesus' name. No whippings tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh. Boy, they got paddles stuck all over that house. And four children. Boy, she does a wonderful job. All right. Let's see. Well, we're not quite ready yet. Anybody got anything they'd like to share before we go? We got 2 minutes, it looks like 3 minutes. How many of you have not seen into the spirit realm, seen demons or angels? And I'll pray over you. Lord, I just thank you for opening up their spiritual eyes to see in Jesus' name. Everybody that hasn't or wants to, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to open up their spiritual eyes to see. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Can I tell you something that a lot of you may not know? You probably already seen in the spirit and you just didn't know it. You thought it was yourself. Yeah, just think about that. All right. Still got 2 minutes. Yeah, Missy.
My thought is lots of times things that I want to see, like if I want to see the Lord or imagine him right here with me or whatever, I imagine it. And I think that's like exercising my faith and exercising my faith. Well, I don't want to exercise. It's like, do I want to see a demon or not? Okay, well, if I need to, if it's purposeful, but like angels, like sometimes I'll imagine, that I see angels. And I think that, I mean, my personal thought is I think that probably facilitates that to actually come about.
Are you seeing it in your mind?
Yeah, like imagination. Yeah, using my imagination.
Do you see it in your eyes or do you see it in your mind behind your eyes?
In my mind, like for instance, like if I if like for instance,
Come
like
on,
I'm
come on. We're
commanding.
running out of time.
Okay, like if I'm commanding something to be fixed or imagine my angel fixing it or whatever like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, just we just prayed. You got faith to believe it. It's done.
Right.
'Cause you're going to
It.
see angels, you're going to see
Amen.
demons, you're going to see all in the spiritual realm. In
Yeah.
Jesus' name. Now, thank you, Lord, for tonight. I praise you. And I thank you, Lord, that give everybody a good night's sleep tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that when we wake up in the morning, we're all going to be supernaturally energized and we're going to see a big angel right there. There's mine right there. REL. He's right there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Y'all be blessed. You hear?